Welcome to the Government Affairs Podcast, where we unpack what's going on in our industry from a retailer's perspective. I'm your host, Grant Falco, and this podcast is a production of the Hearth, Patio, and Barbecue Association and the Firetime Network.
We're going to talk today about what looks like to be natural gas bans coming in Chicago and kind of what we're doing as an industry to fight it, and also what we all need to know about it so that when it happens in our area, and it's not an if, it's almost a when, how do we handle it? Corey, just maybe if you could take us through kind of what is happening in Chicago right now so that we get a good understanding, and then we'll dive into a little bit more.
Sure. So as it relates specifically to Chicago, there has been an ordinance filed at the city council level by Alderwoman Haddon. The name of the ordinance is called the Clean and Affordable Building Ordinance. Hidden in this ordinance is the mandate that any new building starting in 2025 essentially cannot have gas. At first glance of the ordinance, you may not pull that out, but really the language that impacts us the most, and I'll just read it to you. No person shall cause or allow the combustion of any substance that emits 25 kilograms more of carbon dioxide per million British thermal units of energy. Now, on its face, that seems almost innocuous, a phrase that, you know, of course we wouldn't want something that emits, carbon dioxide at that rate. But if you look deeper into it, what that does is essentially eliminates any potential use of a gas product. And that certainly covers our gas hearth products, but also other gas products, dryers, your stove, anything that you would use in your home that is run by natural gas. This language mirrors very closely to language that was passed in New York City when they tried to pass a gas ban. That made it across the finish line, but is currently under litigation by some folks in New York City. So it's being challenged there at the court level, and we'll see how that works out. HPBA is not involved directly in that lawsuit, but it mirrors, again, some of the actions that were in Berkeley, California, and then a broader New York State lawsuit. In response to this ordinance being filed, HPBA has joined a coalition, the Consumer Energy Choice Coalition. It's a group of folks who are working to educate folks in Chicago and their elected officials about how this could impact them and their businesses. And it's been a great opportunity so far to work with these people. It's a broad and diverse coalition of people, not just in our industry. I know the hearth industry can get a little niche and closed off, but this is a large group of people that are really pushing back against hasty policy decisions.
Awesome. I mean, that's fantastic to hear. It's not just us in this challenge and understanding of what's going on. Can you tell us where is this at right now in the whole scope of just getting started and being completed?
Sure. So several weeks ago, the ordinance was filed. It was then tabled, and another counter ordinance or resolution was filed by Alderman Gil Villegas, which would have turned this into essentially a study bill where the folks on the city council in Chicago would have to study the issue before they make such a hasty choice to have this be enacted and enforceable by 2025. In terms of where we are right now, April 3rd, there will be a hearing, informational only. There'll be no votes taken, but proponents and opponents of the measure will get together to talk about where they stand on this issue, how it impacts them specifically and their members, and how it could impact the folks of Chicago. So we're excited to have a large coalition of people there to speak out against this bill and really help educate folks that although this bill may seem good on its face, there are some very unintended consequences that could impact especially our membership.
Yeah, I mean, this is common where I feel like you're saying similar things that I've heard where there's a rush to electrification before there's an understanding of A, we have the capacity to take that on, and B, even more important, is that change actually going to get the results that we want? And you've said hasty a few times, and I assume that's the reason you've used that terminology, because they're we're making changes that we don't yet know the results of. Is that correct?
That's right. And if you think about the way that this bill is written, it's taking off the table an option for folks to use. You know, selfishly, we love our gas hearth products, the amenity of it. People love the ability and reliability of them. But consumer energy choice is going to drive us forward to a cleaner, more efficient energy future across every facet of society. We are going to be able to utilize all existing technology and future technology to help meet these goals. There's no one on this coalition who wants to see emissions go up. They all want to be a part of the solution, but that solution can't be simply eliminating one choice for consumers, especially when there's no guarantee that the alternative is any cleaner necessarily. The amount of electricity that would be needed to generate to supplement a loss from natural gas would simply mean burning more natural gas to create that electricity, or God forbid, burning more coal to create the electricity to make up for the loss of natural gas, which is not cleaner in any way than using a gas hearth product.
Yeah, you did a great job, Corey. I mean, it's so difficult because in the position that we find ourselves in the industry that we're in, you know, we were talking about the terminology to use and challenge or whatever. It's hard because I think we're all on the same side, right? We all want a better world for our kids. And I think the side that I want to be on is the side that does makes educated decisions. And I understand in a timely manner is very important here because we have issues, but having it done in the correct way. And I think of an example just in the auto industry recently where I feel like there's, you know, there was a huge push to have all these cars that are electric, and that's fine, to each is their own. They're pretty awesome, but there are some drawbacks that they have uncovered. And also now you hear things about hybrids being much more cost effective and much better for our environment long term. We don't know what we don't know, and nothing's proven yet, but we have to. You said earlier there was a study bill in place, and for some reason that kind of changed. That seems to make sense to me. So why do you think there's kind of a rush to do this? Because I know the people doing it do believe they're doing what's best. Why would you think that's there?
I think it's a way to, I don't want to say check a box, but almost a low-hanging fruit to be able to say, hey, we passed this bill, now things are better. But when you dig a little bit deeper past the surface, that may not be the case as it would turn out. With every piece of legislation and policy in every industry area, there are always unintended consequences. And it would feel good to be able to pass a bill and say that we're moving towards the right direction. But I honestly haven't been able to come up with a better word than hasty, because We all do want a more energy efficient and cleaner future. But this is not the way forward. We're exactly. Foregoing by eliminating this choice. We're foregoing any opportunity to utilize the fuels and technologies of the future. By stopping the proliferation of piped gas, we won't be able to take advantage of renewable natural gas or hydrogen blending, all of exactly. which are being explored and have potential, you know, positive externalities in the future.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, I understand natural gas is not ideal, but it is actually one of the ways we were able to be one of the top in the Paris Accord and different things. Natural gas has gotten us there, and maybe natural gas can get us to another option of fuel that is clean burning, that is better, and not to mention the infrastructure that is holds natural gas. What do we do with that if it's eliminated? And this is the starting of a lot of different things. You know, Chicago is just one place that this is happening. So real quickly, and it's probably not a quick subject, but Corey, tell me just a little bit of insight of what happens when you start to get this information, because it's like you almost have to wait and then hurry and then wait and then hurry, because so many things take transition change. Can you kind of take me through that specifically here in Chicago, just to give an insider's perspective?
Sure. So as it relates specifically to Chicago, this coalition itself formed on an issue back in December when Evanston, a suburb essentially of Chicago, they themselves tried to pass a gas ban modeled after the Berkeley, the first in the nation citywide gas ban. And members and folks of what would be the Consumer Energy Choice Coalition stepped up and said, hey, Have you considered that, you know, this ban would potentially have the same litigation aspects as the one in Berkeley concerning the Environmental Protection Conservation Act? So Evanston eventually decided to cool down and back off of their potential gas ban. And they leaned more towards hoping that the state of Illinois would put together, you know, a stretch code or a gas ban that would eliminate, you know, fossil fuels and new construction. Long story short, the Illinois Energy Stretch Code, their governing body, the Capital Development Board, voted against adopting that. In Illinois, the state code, which is modeled after the International Energy Conservation Code, has to be their minimum and maximum code. So cities, for the most part, with some exception, cannot have a code system that is stronger or weaker than the IECC code. And they chose not to adopt a stretch code in Illinois. And that's kind of the statewide aspect. And what CECC, our coalition, has done is being able to pull together these people to help in Chicago acutely, but then also more broadly in Illinois as these issues and initiatives to limit consumer choice precipitate. So you're absolutely right. There's a lot of hurry and wait up, and there's a lot of different avenues that some of the proponents of limiting choice that they can take, whether it's like we see in Chicago with the Clean and Affordable Building Ordinance, or it's through the codes process or a statewide initiative. There are a lot of moving parts, and the folks at HPBA, the government affairs team, and just like many of our coalition partners, are trying to keep our ears to the ground to try to, you know, head off any of these potential efforts.
So from start to finish, this started in one county, one jurisdiction, kind of moved statewide, then got to Chicago. And that's kind of how these things work. From start to finish, how long was that, just out of curiosity?
So in Evanston, when they had their hearings and the pushback began with the leader of the Clean Energy Choice Coalition, Paul Colgan, that was in December. And now fast forward, we're in towards the end of March. Some of these things can move quickly. Other times, like if the city council wants to take up Alderman Villegas's ordinance, it could be studied and take another year or two before there's any action taken on it after the appropriate amount of study takes place. But there's places all across the country. In Vermont, we've seen their clean heat standard bill passed last year with another year of study before they can implement, and then another year of study before it takes firm hold in the state. So some of these move quickly, others not as fast. Yeah. Just depends on jurisdictions.
Yeah, and that seems fast to me from December to now for those all that to have happened, and then to stay informed, and then also to keep people abreast of everything that's going on. That is a difficult situation. Sometimes it can be really slow. And in this situation, we prefer slow and studied, I think, but you have to deal with what you have to deal with. We appreciate the coalition and what you're doing so much. So let's talk about why it's important that everybody in our industry understands what's going on, and that everybody in our industry pays attention to what's going on and even looks to support what's going on in Chicago.
I think it's really important because, as you've already mentioned, Grant, these things kind of will pop up in one area and then a city council will hear of it and think maybe that would be good for their jurisdiction. And that's how these things pollinate. It's not specific to our industry or energy generally. There are, you know, plenty of times where different groups will meet up. I'm thinking of several, the National State Legislature Association. They have meetings where folks get together and different representatives or city council people share ideas about what they've done and what works. And this is just an idea that, you know, can get pollinated across the country. And I think it's very important that when we educate folks, constituents in Chicago and the elected folks there on the city council about how this works, that may stop some of the pollination that we would see across the country. And I think trumpeting the idea that consumer choice is very important and that constituents care about that, that's a real political fact that elected people have to take into consideration when they make their policy choices about how their choices would impact their constituency.
I love that. I feel like, you know, we have to learn from these examples. And you know, Corey, I know you know this. I'm a retailer myself. I'm in my office, in my store right now. And Washington State's been heavily impacted by this. And I give a lot of credit to GAA and just making me understand that I have a voice, letting me know how to use that voice properly and where to go with that voice. And I feel like, you know, different things, whether it's this podcast, the videos you're doing, and other avenues, we really have to work as an industry, as retailers and distributors and manufacturers, to understand what's going on all over the country. We need to then, after we understand what's going on, reach out to our local representatives and anybody that we can to help share our message. And it's the constructive message of doing it the right way, in essence. And that's how we initiate change. It has to happen actually before these bills come about. And that's why it's so important to talk about Chicago, to talk about New York, and talk about all these things, wood or gas, that are happening, because they're happening faster than ever and more abundant than ever, and even a little sneakier than ever, you know, coming from all directions. So can you help me understand all the avenues in which people can get information on these things? So, you know, like obviously this podcast and the videos, as I mentioned, what are the other avenues listeners can get this information?
Yeah, that's a really great point. And I think if I can give a plug for HPBA, our website is being updated almost daily with new information, new tools. We recently released our legislative bill tracker, which if you're an HPBA member, you can sign into the portal with a more in-depth version, but it'll have an Excel spreadsheet of the tracking of all the bills across the country that we're working on or at least monitoring. And then, you know, you can sort it to find your state that you care about. We also have some regulatory issues on there as well. So that would be a great place to start, would be our HPBA website. And I think you're a great poster child for our Government Affairs and Leadership Academy. We're putting together our cohort who will have their third class next month. And they've done a great job. And it's been such a great opportunity to educate folks who may not have any experience in this, but everyone who's a citizen has a right to have their voice heard. And honestly, there are, you know, countless times where elected officials are almost seeking out times to interact with their constituency and learn more about, you know, the businesses that operate in their area and what policy impacts them and how they can help their businesses. So reaching out to your elected officials, and if you're uncomfortable doing that, I'm sure we'll share my contact information. Let me know and I can help facilitate those meetings, because, you know, in the year 2024, there's an election and there's several legislators, I'm sure, that will be on the ballot across the country. There's nothing they like more than a photo op to shake hands and learn a little bit more about your business. So in-person meetings with legislators, visiting stores, visiting factories, all of those are great ways to stay involved. And like you said, get ahead of that. If a legislator has a relationship with an HPBA member and they understand who we are and how we operate, they're much less likely to potentially pass a bill that may negatively impact us. So that's a great way to stay involved. You know, consider joining the next cohort of Gala. You know, we're having reviews so far that things are going well, and we're hoping that the 2025 class goes just as well as this one so far.
Yeah. That's great. I would also mention that I get some of my information from your newsletter every once in a while that comes out monthly. And there's also, I feel passionate about participation in your affiliate. So your local affiliate is really like, that's what my first introduction was into government affairs, as weird as that is to say. I remember there's a 2-hour, you know, presentation that you have to go to, and it's like, oh, government affairs. And you, like, you kind of think about it that way. And I'll just never forget just being blown away at how impactful that 2 hours was to me, because, and really I equated it, Corey, to a crystal ball. It was telling me what's coming, what to expect, how to, you know, make dynamic change ahead of time, not reactively, proactively. And I think whether it's the monthly calls, the newsletter, all of that is really, really important. Participating at your affiliate level is kind of a gateway into all these other things. And I would strongly recommend heavy participation at the local level and affiliate as well. And then taking your information somewhere else to add on to what you said, the GAA was impactful for Tim and I, just in so many levels. One of the things is that you think that they know all of this stuff. They don't. They have a million things that they're trying to juggle, and the squeaky wheel gets the grease in essence. You need to be there stating your case, informing them, educating them, because they don't know. I had Kathy McMorris Rogers in my store a couple years ago, and you know, she is amazing. She was actually just so easy to communicate. It empowered me in a way, but she also listened, and she also didn't know a lot of stuff that was happening. And you kind of mentioned it earlier about the whole paragraph of what they're doing does not say they're taking out natural gas appliances. And so it's hard to decipher through all the different ways we use words and all that stuff to know actually what's going on. And that's where we are so important. We are the people that vote them into office, and they actually will listen. It's us that does not reach out because we don't think they will. Corey, before we conclude this, there's a couple more things I want to ask just real quick. So is there anywhere else in the country that is on your radar for something like this coming or happening? And we don't spend a lot of time on it, but if there is and it just jumps out at you, I want to just throw that out to give people a heads up, because again, we don't know everything that's going on.
Yeah. So there are several places across the country that we are monitoring, others more closely than not. We have to do a good job of sifting through what we think are actual, you know, potential threats for a negative piece of legislation passing. So the state of Maryland had a bill that would essentially eliminate gas and new construction. We sent out an action alert, a call to action, and the folks in the Mid-Atlantic affiliate did a great job of responding to that call to action. We're anticipating that bill won't make it across the finish line. In New Jersey, a bill was recently filed that would again do something similar, removing consumer choice. So we're watching that in New Jersey as well. Massachusetts has a whole host of problems and legislation that could negatively impact our industry. So those are a few of the areas that we're watching a little bit closer than others. If I could give some good news, the state of Nebraska appears to be passing fuel choice. So we're hoping that this bill makes it across the finish line. It would now count as the 26th state, if it passes, to adopt fuel choice, which is essentially a consumer choice bill, protecting constituents and folks from a city or county or smaller jurisdiction from limiting access to any particular type of fuel. So that is a positive. You know, I don't want to count my chickens before they hatch, but from our coalition partners and folks on the ground, we think that we may get that bill across the finish line this year.
Well, and we need the positive news, Corey, because you guys are doing a lot of work. And sometimes we focus on the next problem without understanding maybe the solution to some of these or the resolution to some of these. Go ahead, Corey.
I was just going to say, Grant, that's a really good point, because one thing I think that gets overlooked at times is that a lot of times in state houses and even in city councils, groups are mired down in partisan politics. And one thing that I've really enjoyed seeing is that every single state, the 25 so far, where fuel choice has been passed, it's been done on a bipartisan basis. There have been folks from both sides of the aisle that come together to say, hey, it would be hasty if we just allowed any city to completely cut off their constituents from consumer choice of what fuels they use to heat their homes, to cook their food, to grill their barbecue, that's not the place of cities to do that. And we're really proud of that fact that in 25 states it's happened, and potentially 26 states, although Nebraska state legislature is nonpartisan. So it won't technically be bipartisan if there is no partisan majority there.
Yeah, I think the most important thing here, and this is in almost every podcast, just every government affairs issue, it's the involvement, it's the understanding, and it's using your voice. And this podcast is to get all this information out there. And to the people listening, you know, I know that you're in the whirlwind, you're in the hustle and bustle. I know that there's all these pressing things, but we have to fully understand that our industry, unless we defend ourselves, is going to get rolled over, not because it's right, because we're not standing up to it. And I think that's really important to say. And I think, you know, talking about Chicago, talking about New York, I enjoy it. It does seem like a little bit of rinse and repeat, Corey, because again, they're copying from one place to the other. I definitely think that we need to do a follow-up on Chicago, maybe not next month, but maybe the following month, and just kind of follow this journey along a little bit so that we can fully unpack it and give people a story that is from start to finish. Like, this is what happens. This is what government affairs and HPBA are doing. This is what you can do. Truthfully, that gets me excited. So, Corey, is there any last words, parting words regarding Chicago, government affairs, HPBA, anything at all?
No, I would just like to plug again the coalition that we're very happy to be a part of, OurCleanEnergyChoice.com, to learn more. And as I said, we're always looking for new members to grow our voice in Chicago. We're building this coalition to keep your energy affordable. And I think that is the message we're trying to drive home, is that we're not going to be mired down in partisan politics or anything that would be, you know, potentially negative. We're simply trying to look out for consumers and, again, consumer choice.
Thanks for listening to the Government Affairs Podcast, where we unpack what's going on in our industry from a retailer's perspective. To learn more about what the HPBA is doing and to get involved, go to www.hpba.org. This podcast has been a production of the Hearth, Patio, and Barbecue Association and the Firetime Network.